are live with Sean. What is it? Another special one we got going on here.
I know. We keep having special episodes, but they truly are genuinely that special. And today is no exception.
Dan, we've very special.
Extremely special.
This is a build-up I don't think I can live up to right now.
Well, we've announced, you know, partnering with Mountainy, and, you know, I think, Dan, you've just drug your feet. You just never wanted to do it, so I had to get up at 5:30 in the morning to do this with you. But without further ado, Dan Kempton from Mountainy Classic.
Where's the soundboard gone, man?
I don't know. It's been acting up lately, so I just decided to maybe if I want to throw it in later, I'll do it.
All right.
Dan, thank you so much for being on.
It's an absolute pleasure to be on my podcast. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you know, again, on air, I want to thank you personally. This is a huge opportunity for us, and we've enjoyed it thoroughly, you know, behind the scenes. You know, collaborating with Mountainy, doing the post and the giveaway, and that giveaway was super cool. We loved that. So thank you so much for believing in what we're doing here and giving us a chance.
It's an absolute pleasure. I mean, you guys, I think the thing that we always like as being involved in the classic car industry in general is the community element to it. You know, if you go on to big groups, whether it's for a specific mark or a country or anything like that, they get very polarized very quickly because they're huge and you've got 10, 20, 30,000 people there. But having such a focused community that you guys have created where everyone is just passionate about minis, regardless of what shape, what color, what design, isn't that right, Sean? Design.
Yeah, very much so. I think passion is a very understated word right now. I think it's more of an obsession.
No, we it's something we've tried to tap into, but it's harder for us because we don't really retail. I know we've got our website, but that's not really what we do. That's not what our business is about. So it's harder for us to try and tap into that community and understand across any mark what people are interested in and how they view our products, how they view other people's stuff. So to have this opportunity was a no-brainer for us. So yeah, we're really 1 month in, couldn't be happier. So yeah, it's great.
It's music to our ears. Thank you, Dan. We both really appreciate it. So again, thank you.
That's
yeah, absolutely. Well, Dan, usually the first kind of question I ask is how'd you get into minis, but not necessarily a mini guy, but you've been around the classic car kind of industry and scene for a long time. Your family, I think, has kind of been around it for a long time. So I kind of wanted to shift it and, you know, ask about, you know, maybe the history of Mountainy, how it was started and how you guys, your family kind of got involved and, you know, kind of start there.
Well, Mountainy was actually started by a guy called Albert Mountainy. So really original, and he just made steering wheels. He was just one of those people who, back in the late 60s, early 70s, he just enjoyed making good quality products in the UK. And that's what he did for 10 or so years. And then my dad, who was a sales agent in the motor trade, he represented people like Haynes Manuals, just a little company some people might know of, and a few other fairly sizable industries, and he got involved with Mountainy, and he actually got Mountainy steering wheels into Halfords, which Sean will know is a bit of a beast in the automotive trade in the UK. And Albert couldn't keep up with the demand. You know, he could make maybe 200 steering wheels a week. Halfords alone were looking at 400 or 500.
Wow.
And my dad, in his manner, just had a bit of a hissy fit with him and said, well, just sell me the company then. And they parted ways and, you know, it didn't work. Albert didn't want to progress the business and he was just happy doing his thing and dad couldn't, you know, had to move on. But a few years later, Albert contacted dad and said, is the offer still on the table? Dad said, yeah, absolutely. And so dad, with a few other people at the time, bought, it was actually called Motus, I should say, not Mountney, but dad bought the company, moved all the production up to Scotland in the late 80s, early 90s, and it carried on from there. And then that sort of group of people used the brand of Mountney to bring in whole heaps of products across everything. And, you know, in the good old fast car days with Max Power and things like that, we were looking at sports suspension, flashing gear knobs, and eyelash headlights, and all these wonderful things
that
we don't unfortunately see anymore. And I mean, and it's grown from there. And I joined in 2009, so I'm 15 years this year, which is
congratulations.
No. it's been a journey, that's for certain. It was only meant to be a few years because I graduated uni right in the financial crisis, so no one wanted a 21-year-old with no experience with a degree in politics, and to be honest, still no one wants that.
I was just gonna say, still no one wants that.
So I've just kind of stuck it out, and I've just grown to love all the elements that we do. And you know, I say to anyone, you know, the sort of growth and development in our business is in the leisure side of the stuff we do with roof bars and things like that. But I love Mountney Classic. I love the opportunities we get. I love the conversations we have. And it has become its own passion in itself. I've always loved cars. My dad's an ex-racing driver, semi-successful. I've been brought up around motor racing my whole life. I love cars. I went to every car show you could imagine as a kid. I still go to all of them. I went to Autosport last week. It was terrible, but I can't not go because I've been going every year of my life. So cars are a huge passion for me. And as I say, Mountney Classic, whilst it's not the biggest part of our business, it's easily my favorite. There's not even a conversation. And to get to do things like this, it's just great fun and makes it all worthwhile.
And that's the main thing, isn't it? As long as you're enjoying it and you're making the most of what you can out of it, then, you know, it's you're never going to lose, really, are you, in that aspect?
It's exactly that. And we've got a great team here. There's only 12 of us. And I'm still a newbie at 15 years. You know, most of our staff are 20 plus, and they've all been doing this. That's all they've done. And I mean, you guys have got to know Jody quite well. That's obviously how this has all worked out. Jody is 10 years this year.
Wow.
Don't tell her I know that, because I'm probably not in some way. And you know, there's, you know, this young girl who had no experience in the motor trade when she joined us, and now you guys know as well as anyone, she's got as much, if not more, knowledge than anyone else in the trade. So we're very lucky that we've got people like that in our business. And, you know, she does our Instagram and things like that. And she does that for fun, really. And that's how she came about you, Sean. And that's how this whole conversation developed, because she just enjoys that. And
it's
such a lovely thing to have as part of the business.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the passion that, you know, yourself, Jody, and the rest of the team have behind the business, which is fantastic, which is why Mike and I really wanted to join, you know, alongside you guys and be able to have this opportunity to do it. So, you know, it's just sharing the passion and, like you said, sharing the community. 100%.
I mean, Mini's such an important part of this section for us. I mean, whilst I have no experience directly with Mini, I've never owned one. I've never driven one, actually. I don't think, not a classic anyway. I had a Mini Countryman, but that was obviously the German new build, and it had to be rewired about four
Shame.
Times.
No,
it's gone, don't worry. I learned a lot. I actually went to America in 2018 to sort of get a bit of knowledge about potentially growing Mountney in America. And I went to California. I met with Don Racine at Mini Mania. I met with 7N, obviously, before they got bought by Mini Mania, and then met with Graham Reed at Heritage Garage, and then did the classic show at LA. I think it's called Classic Autos, Mike. You might know.
I should know. I don't know.
Big thing in LA.
There's a lot in LA. I don't know. One every weekend.
I mean, but it was great fun, and I learned so much. And I realized, particularly talking to Graham, and you know, I hope maybe you get him on the podcast, because he's just a mountain of knowledge. And I realized then that there's a lot more than I've understood as just supplying steering wheels that happen to end up on a Mini. I've got to bone up quickly. So yeah, that was a really big boost for my knowledge. And then in 2019, with Summerford Mini, who is a customer of ours, we did IMM when it was at Bristol. And I was just there on his behalf, basically selling Mountney steering wheels. We weren't there officially. And it was a tough time personally for me. My daughter had just come home from hospital after having a difficult birth. And I was meant to go to Bristol on a bit of a jolly for a weekend and just happened to sell some steering wheels. But I ended up having to go in and out every day because my daughter had feeding tubes, and my wife and I were just learning about how to handle this situation at home. So I wasn't necessarily in the best place to be leaving for a long day and going to a show that really was no massive benefit to me. It was more for a customer, but I made the commitment. So I went, and you know what? What a tonic that was, just talking to everyone about their cars, seeing people young and old, all shapes and sizes, every background. And they only cared about one thing, and that was their Mini. Not other Minis, their Mini. And that's just really what got me. The amount of times I had to stand there just to sell one steering wheel, but look at endless photos. I mean, I don't show that many photos of my own kids to people, especially strangers. And it's like, it's almost like, and here's when I first got her. This is when I first brought her home from the mechanic, and it carries on. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. I've loved doing classic car shows in the past, but that was a different level. And so, you know, it's just grown on me, and it has got to the point where I know I've got to get one, but I've got to have some money first. So, you guys need to step it up.
We're trying, Dan.
listen, you know, Dan has spoken. He wants a Mini. The people, let's get this, you know, somebody give him a well-sorted Mini over here. We don't want in that pro. Well, Dan, you know, maybe you will turn into that guy. Like, here's when it was rotten. Here's when I had to do the floors. Here's when I did the seals.
None of that will happen. I am the laziest and most useless person on the planet. We have a rule here at Mountney that any product we do has to pass the Dan test. So if I can understand the instructions that our experts have put together, then it's good. If I can't, back to the drawing board.
Hey, that's, you know.
I like that. That's a good ethos.
That makes sense, though.
I've got to have a purpose somewhere. Otherwise, I've got nothing to do. So.
You know, I don't have I'm a car guy, but I've always been a Mini guy, so I don't have necessarily experience at other, you know, makes or mark kind of shows or communities, but you hit the nail on the head, man. The Mini community is very special, and we all love Minis, but we love our Minis. Like, it's just like they're all unique. You know, they all have their own quirks, and it's you know, we can kind of bond over that, I guess. I don't know what it is. We've asked that question so many times, what makes it special? And I don't know what it is. I think
the bottom line with it is we are all just giant anoraks and nerds for these tiny little cars. I think that's the only way we can put it, really.
It's really interesting, though, because there's the motorsport aspect. There's now kind of the Stancy Boy aspect. There's, you know, the purist aspect, and all of them, you know, but it kind of comes back to Mountney has something for all of them. I got the wood rim, Sean's got the racing wheel, you know, like it's very unique.
Sean does not have a racing wheel, he has a go-kart wheel. We need to put this, isn't it? I'm not joking, I'm not taking the mic. It is a go-kart.
Genuinely is. I was wondering how long this would take before this would get brought up. Thanks, Dan.
but that's what I love. You know, if you were to take your two cars, Mike, yours is what I would do. If someone said, draw up how you would make a Mini look, it would be like Mike's. If someone said to me, how would you not want it to look, it would be Sean's. But the reality is, I love both. The fact that I wouldn't do what Sean does is irrelevant. I love it. I've probably inadvertently seen your car around and probably said exactly that before, you know, we've got to know each other through this.
I see.
But I don't know any real car fanatic who goes to a show and goes to seek out to criticize someone's own design. If someone's tried to do a full restoration to original and they get bits wrong, you hear that a lot. But when someone's just put their own take on a car, any car, they might go, oh, I wouldn't do that, I might do this, but they wouldn't go up and give you abuse about it.
Well, you'd be surprised.
There are those people, but
in fairness, normally people are asking me for like discounts and favors and stuff, so maybe they just don't do it to my face. But
we don't
know anything about that.
I do just think that when you're putting your own spin on a car, there's no right or wrong. There shouldn't be anyone. And
exactly.
That's what I love about the fact there's you two, different sides of a continent, and two sides of a spectrum on how a car could look, even though it's the same brand. And yet you guys talk like you've got identical taste and everything works, but actually the reality is it couldn't be further from the truth. And I think that's why this has been such an inclusive podcast. You guys just get anyone and everyone, and it's all good.
100%.
We appreciate that. Thank you. And it's like you said, it's diversity within the car world, especially in the Mini scene. Like you said, you can build a Mini, you can get it right, you can get it 100% OEM or back to purist form. But to have that blank canvas and be able to talk about it, like you said, it's what it's all about for us. And that's we want to share the stories. We want to share everything as much as we possibly can about, you know, our love for and our passion for Minis and Mountney steering wheels as well. It kind of goes hand in hand, really.
Yeah, I mean, that I have to say, like the fun we get to have, you know, the places we get to go. I mean, we supplied Morgan, for example, getting to go up there. Oh, what a place. We've done stuff with JLR Classic. I mean, if you ever get to go to that warehouse, you will see cars that they should be in museums. I don't know why they're just sat in basically a warehouse, but there was one of the Bond Jags from, I think it was Spectre.
Is that the one that was used on the ice?
Yeah. No. It's one where they were driving through Italy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Was it Spectre? And the Jag gets launched into a river. And it's literally sat there with all the damage.
Wow.
Doing nothing. And I'm like, this is a work day for me. This is ridiculous. You know, and you know, I've been very lucky to get to know Paddy Hopkirk quite well while he was alive. I mean, actually, the last time I saw him was at my dad's funeral because they passed the same year. Dad and Paddy were frenemies, I think is probably how the young people call it. They hated each other for years, and then it all thawed a bit, and it was we had a really good relationship, certainly the time that I've been involved with Mountney. And he was a gem. The problem was he never wanted to talk about everything that we all know Paddy for. He only ever wanted to talk about the motor trade, and occasionally I got snippets out of him, but he just, whenever I saw him, it didn't matter what it was for, whether even if it was a Mini event like IMM, first thing he'd say was, oh, how are you getting on with Halfords? How are you getting on with this stuff? It's like, Paddy, can we talk about something else? But yeah, so when you get to say that you can count Paddy Hopkirk as a friend, you know you're leading a good life.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this podcast is turning into for us, I think, is that we've been introduced to, you know, we had a before Sean joined a board, Smoking John Rhodes on. I was like, what? Like, how is this spot? Like the picture I've seen so many times outside of Paddy's kind of famous photos, Smoking John Rhodes, smoking his tires, going around the corner, and it's like, how did I just sit down with him? Although he talked for an hour straight and I think I got zero questions and he just had all his answers written out. But it was amazing, you know, and it's like, how is that real? You know, you never think about that. So that's very cool.
I think that's the other thing. Everyone's got a lot of time to talk about this, whether it's part of work or just pure passion and in their own time. Everyone is willing to give that time, and that's what makes it so great.
Mm-hmm. So, Dan, you know, you've been doing this for 15 years, and so you've been able to watch the company grow and, you know, help adapt it throughout kind of all the changes in the world. You know, how has it been with maybe like the technology aspect or manufacturing or even just like design throughout the years? Like, I think you said in 2009, you know, early 2000s, it was pretty different, like you said, with the flashiness to kind of what it is today and et cetera. How was that, navigating that and kind of adapting the company over the years?
I mean, for this section, it's been it's kind of been a backward step in a way, because it's going back to the designs that were popular in the 70s and 80s. You know, all of the boy racer type stuff, which, you know, I grew up on. I loved, you know, we used to do Raid steering wheels, Dino. Obviously, we had our own Mountain M range, and whilst the M range is still there, it's nothing on what it was, because it's very much seen now as almost a racing range rather than a boy racer. So I think the big thing for us has just been listening to what people are telling us, because as I said, we don't have that direct contact. So, you know, if our customers say this is going to start dropping off, we've been quick to move that way and then make sure we can keep the investment going the other way, because obviously these cars don't change. Steering column's exactly the same. The boss kits that we supply are the same. You know, I've got the original drawings that we did in 91. You know, the product is identical to how it was. And in a way, that's been the challenge, is making sure that the quality has been maintained, that we're on top of the design and any changes. And it's been maintaining the business rather than adapting it. And that's kind of been the excitement, you know, is making sure that we're using the steering wheels to the best of their ability. You know, we've had them on TV shows and stuff, and you know, the Top Gear had the Mountie four spoke on a, I think it was an old Vauxhall when they toured Iceland recently. Sorry, Mike, this is getting a bit British now. you know, and I just remember sitting there and thinking, that steering wheel is 30 years old and it's now getting more publicity than our entire business just because it happens to be on Top Gear. And we got so much traction. It's, again, you see that and then you go, I see loads of pictures on Instagram with four spokes. And then we were digging through some of our old steering wheels, and that's how we found the four spoke for the giveaway. And I just thought, that's something beautiful. And then Jody went, oh, we should do that as a giveaway. And I was like, I don't really want to give it away if I'm honest.
I don't blame you. That wheel was absolutely gorgeous. That was
Jody's fault, that son of a bee. yeah, we all were like, No, I'm just kidding.
And, but, you know, we're going to look at bringing back a version of, not that one, that will remain. Sorry, was it Lauren who won? Congratulations, yeah. Lauren, by the way. I think the steering wheel's on its way to you. But we're going to bring back probably just a black leather with a polished and black center. Because again, people are starting to ask for these things to come back. And that's the challenge, is making sure that we've got the availability, we've got the ability to bring back these items. And some of the steering wheels we've got now will drop off, and in 5 years they'll pick up again. And, It's always random. The one thing you guarantee, Mike, as you know, a wood rim is always classy and it's always going to stay classy. Sean, you are the only person to this day that owns a go-kart wheel on it.
Yeah, and I don't.
Why did you not even in a critical way. You could have had any M range wheel. Are you like 6 foot seven or something and you have a leg room?
I'm 5'6", man. So I had this M range one,
yeah,
but it was slightly too big for my knees. Even though I've got a Kirky seat, it was still too big.
How is this possible?
I honestly don't know. So I had to get something smaller. And I didn't realize just how much of a difference that makes when you're going in a straight line at like 70 miles an hour.
Mm. And try to turn around, when you're parking.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. that's a bit of an issue. I mean, I've just learned now to just abandon it where you can, make a space rather than park in a space.
Can I send you a wheel that I think would go with your interior and not cripple you?
Yes,
time.
Please.
Can I just send you one just to see if I'm right? Because I love seeing, like, you know, if the way that I like a steering wheel and a certain interior would work. So if it doesn't work, don't worry about it. Bin it. But
let's try.
I'll send you one.
I'm game.
Dan,
thank
is it a
much.
Fuzzy leopard wheel, or because it's got to go with his interior, you know?
I mean, you know, it doesn't have to match. I think the steering wheel should always offset the interior anyway.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. You got to have that call. Contrast.
I do always say that. If someone asks me, you know, should I go for light or dark, the first question is always, what's your interior? Because nothing annoys me more than if you've got, say, a black leather trim, and then you put a black leather steering wheel in and it just disappears. It's like, why would That's you do it. That? So, mm. It's one of the first things you look at when you look at the interior of the car.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I found out, especially with, like, the dash and the steering wheel, there's such a talkative point at any show you go to. It doesn't matter what car it is or, you know, what they've got as an interior choice. It's always a talkative point, regardless of who you are and what it is.
Yeah. Do me a favor. You've got me on Instagram. Send me a non-flashy, Sean upgraded image of your dash, just so I can have a look. Because all the ones I see, you've done some wonderful work trying to beef up the images. So just the standard one, just so I can actually see what it looks like.
No worries, I'll
hashtag
send you a
no filter.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes. For the young people.
Yeah, no, thanks, Dan.
That's funny. Well, I mean, you kind of talked about the, you know, the trends of kind of going back and forth and how they're kind of going back to the, you know, 80s, 70s or whatever. But, you know, the one thing that I loved about Mountainy is, you know, the wood rim you said is very classic. And I knew I always want, no matter what my car looked like, I've always wanted just a wood steering wheel. You know, but there's some old, you know, classic wheels out there that are very expensive for an old wheel that I would have to refurbish. And that's what I loved about Mountainy. And when I found you guys first, I was like, wow, this is a great looking wheel and I can buy it brand new and just get everything brand new, bolt it up, and it looks the part and it's great quality. And that's what I really love about mine. And it's just, you know, got that nice.
I'm just going to write that down for the sales pitch I've got to do later. Thanks.
You should. Please do. Please do. I mean, that was my exact feeling because I was looking through and I was like, this, you know, surfing. First of all, in the United States, it's hard to find like an old anything mini related on eBay, right? So I always go to ebay.co.uk and half of them don't ship, more than half don't ship, or they don't answer me. But yeah, when I found Mountainy, I was like, man, this is fantastic. So I applaud you guys for doing what you do, because I truly do. I'm not even just BSing you here. I really do, really do love it. So thank you.
Thank you. I mean, you know, it's my family's heritage. So, you know, when you say stuff like that, it does mean a lot. So thank you.
People probably think I'm lying, but I'm genuinely, I love my steering wheel.
I said it and it's out there on a public forum. Yeah. You know, isn't that legally binding nowadays?
There we go. Yeah.
Witnessed and signed. Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, it's still owned by my family. There's no outside investment. It's, you know, I'm MD, but you know, the reality is that if anything goes wrong here, or you know, it's on me and my family, and that's it. So, you know, to hear any positives in any way around our business, you know, it means more than just a compliment of a product. You know, it's 50 years in the making with my dad. You know, he was 50 years in the motor trade, and you know, when we had his funeral, bearing in mind, we were all sort of just coming out of COVID at this time. You know, the fact that there were 200 people at the memorial service, and then again at, there were probably another 100 people watching online. You know, it was like, wow, this is quite something. And a lot of that was people from the motor train, people that we hadn't seen in a long time, just saying, you know, we had to come and pay our respects. And so, you know, it's a deep rooted emotion, this business for us. And so it's why we wanted to align ourselves with people who have that passion in their own way, you know, and you guys just exude that, and the people that come on, you know, even though I'd say 90% of what you guys talk about, I haven't got a clue.
But that's right, neither do we.
But what I do understand is the passion, and listening to the way that the people that you have on talk is just, it's so lovely to hear. And yeah, so having that relationship with your guests and your audience is just as important to us as well. So yeah, that's why we're doing it, really.
That's it. Thank you very much. I mean, I was speaking to Jody a couple of weeks back now, I think it was, and we were just discussing about how far around the world Mountney has reached. It's everywhere. It's crazy, you know, seeing posts from Australia or you know, in the middle of
fairness,
God
that's
knows
my
anywhere.
Uncle, the one oh, is... he's got an MGB. We sent him a load of kit for that. But no, we've got customers in New Zealand, in Pakistan. We had someone from Namibia not long ago buy a steering wheel. Obviously,
wow.
Massive in Japan with Mini. Actually, yeah, can you guys educate me? Mini Japan, what's that about? Because it's incredible.
It is.
It's an entire world.
I'm really, really trying to get somebody on here from Japan. The language barrier is tough, and a lot of them don't want to fumble, I guess, on the podcast, even though we can text. I don't know if they're translating or not, but I'm going to find somebody in Japan to talk to, because the mini scene there, they are obsessed with it, it seems like. They have a interesting culture, and that's why I really want to tap into it, obviously, for minis. But I know they have like a U.S. hot rod scene. They have a U.S. low rider scene. They gravitate, it seems from the outside, gravitate towards like a certain kind of genre of car, and then they just do it better than everyone else. It's amazing.
So I was actually speaking to somebody from Japan a little while back. I think they've got like the Britax Cooper styled mini. Yeah. And I just said to him, I was like, you know, what is with the Japanese mini scene? It's like your styling cues are insane. And he responded by saying that that they take a lot of inspiration from the 60s racing scene, from the British. Which I kind of felt a little bit weird, because we're taking inspiration from them, yet they're taking inspiration from us. So mm-hmm. It's like a massive, massive collective, but something gets lost in translation, because their minis are just another level of coolness. Like all the front bibs and skirts and stuff that they have, just incredible, which is sort of what I've loosely based mine on, with the front wings, with the mirrors and stuff. It's where I got the idea from. Not the steering wheel, no.
That's from like the Bozo Zuko scene or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at a lot of the Japanese minis, and they're all running mirrors on the wings rather than on the doors, whether it's the racing cars or even just your average run of the mill on the road minis. They've all got them on the wings rather than on the doors, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah.
they just have a attention to detail that I feel like most people do not, so I don't know. Well, one day, Dan, we're going to get somebody on, and we'll hopefully answer your questions about that.
Well, do you know what? One day, when you guys get a million downloads or listens or recordings or whatever the equivalent is, we'll go. We will go to Japan and do it.
Let's do it.
But you got to get a million.
A million's peeps. Easy. We could do that.
Peeps, you better start listening. That's my
Wasn't
my
there a big
list.
Thing not long ago about hitting 10,000?
Oh, yeah, we're crushed that by now. Yeah. We're moving.
That was like October, November time, Dan. Come on.
but bringing me on's probably just cost you about half. We're going to have to backtrack a bit.
Nah, it can't all be that bad, surely.
I guess the last little, kind of bit here before I patty probe you is... is there any, kind of key milestones or, maybe a personal moment for you that you've really enjoyed working at Mountainy and the growth? Anything that kind of pops in the mind that that you thoroughly enjoyed?
No, I hate it. to be honest, this is going to sound really seedy, but you kind of have to understand that the work that went into it to get there, but this was more on the summit side, which is our roof bars. We got massacred by a competitor who bought our supplier and basically lied to us and cut us out of the deal. And we were smashing it at that stage. We were doing big numbers, and so we just didn't understand it. So we went, right, we're gonna do our own thing. We're gonna get summit roof bars going. Took over the whole thing. We weren't going to distribute for anyone. It was going to be our product. And in 2018, we won the Auto Express Best Buy Award, and we beat all the top brands. And we've won it twice now, actually. But when we won that first one, that was a real wow moment. Because as I say, we're a small team. For us, we can react quickly, but our scope is limited. To do that, I mean, we beat companies that are turning over half a billion. And
wow.
We're definitely doing that. We're not even close to that. To achieve that in such a short space of time, I think it was only about 7 years from those two moments occurring. That was a real moment for us. And actually this year, obviously, we've come through the troubles of COVID and the problems that happen in the UK here in 22. And the fact that this year we can align ourselves with you guys, and on the summit side, we're sponsoring a young racing driver in the Porsche Carrera Cup, which, again, carrying on sort of our motorsport heritage through dad and everything else, is just, those are moments that have really resonated with me recently. So
congratulations on the new signing with Jack.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. That he's to be honest, we bonded over playing golf. I've known Jack a few years, and I think he just likes the fact that whilst he's over here racing, we go out a couple of days before he's due to race and have a couple of rounds of golf. So
nice.
If you ever want to do a golf podcast, now that I'm on. I mean, that's my biggest problem with the Mini. You can't fit your golf clubs in.
It depends how big your golf clubs are, I guess.
You got to take out the front seat or something like that.
Yeah, I take my golf too seriously. So
now that's something I'm trying to get into. Like, I resisted it for years and years and years and years and years. And then I was like, this looks pretty fun. Going out on the course, just... It's beautiful out there.
I've probably already cost you enough listeners by coming on at all. If you start talking about golf, that could be the end of the podcast. So I'll call it.
Oh, jeez.
We'll figure that out. I don't know. My listenership goes down. I don't know. I got to get to that million so I can go to Japan.
Absolutely. They love their golf in Japan as well.
I'll see. There we go. All right, Dan. I know that you're not necessarily a mini guy, but we're going to do a patty probe for you. We'll give you the easy ones. We'll give you the layups.
No, let's make him sweat. Come on, Mike. Let's do this.
All right. How long does it take the clevis pin out of the master cylinder when the car is set up for a left-hand drive?
So the problem that you've got here is you said, how long does it take? Now, are we talking a trained mechanic or are we talking me?
Ooh.
There we go. That's true. How long does the Haynes manual say it should take?
I couldn't care less. I don't even know what you're talking about. So is that where the steering wheel goes?
It is.
It's not far part. Away, is it?
There we go. Yep. So what else you got for me?
Well, I'll start with an easy one. Sean's being mean. Let's see here. I think you can answer this one. Yeah, out of all the mini variants that you know of, mm-hmm. which is your favorite?
I have a real soft spot for the Moke.
Yes.
It is. I was lucky enough, a friend of ours when I was in Australia many, many years ago, owned one in Melbourne, an original, you know. I think he told me it was one of the first 30 off the production line.
Oh, wow.
I dread to think what it's worth now. And we just drove around Melbourne in it. Ironically, we went karting. So it was weird going in a Moke to go karting when the go-kart actually felt better to drive than the Moke. I've just never felt so relaxed in a car. It was just cool. I just felt awesome. And there's people driving in all sorts of supercars at the time. And I didn't care because I was in a Moke.
I guarantee you got the most looks as well that day.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, because it was me, not for
me. I was just going to say.
And probably if I was to choose, there's something about the Clubman for me. I to be honest, let's face it, it's the only change in shape. You know, it's not as recognizable, it's not as iconic, and yet it just says Mini straight away. So yeah, that's probably the only Mini question you can ask me that I can actually give a real answer to.
I mean, it's a good answer, Mike. It is a good answer. I mean, I'm not going to argue with the Clubman or a Moke.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think, you know, here, I'll change it up a little bit for it. There's one that, you know, what's the favorite kind of Mini modification that you've done, et cetera. Let's change it up. What's your favorite Mountainy wheel that you would put in your Clubman or Moke? How about that? That's a good one.
Right. Well, the Moke's an easy one. I do a 13.5-inch wood rim steering wheel, the 353 SPW. Just because for me, when you're driving around in a car like that, I think having the thinner rim of the wood rim that you have, Mike, I don't think it works as well. If you were to then put it in a more standard Mini, I mean, obviously the cartwheel would be the first port of call, but I would probably do what you've done, Mike. I would go 13 or 14 inch wood rim, and the color would be based on the interior. So, but yeah, those are definitely my two favorites.
Not a bad option. Not a bad option, Dan.
All I heard was Dan likes my setup. That's what I heard. So
I do. If you were to textbook what I would do to a Mini, your style is almost spot on.
I got good style. What can I say?
Yeah. You do. Or you could argue that you're like me and just join the masses and do what everyone else does. Sean's the innovator.
Yeah, I'm a trendsetter here, guys.
I'm just
going
to throw grenades now. You tried to get me with this buddy now. I'm just going to throw some grenades into this partnership. See what happens.
I don't know.
See, Mike,
I got
you
some
can't
unique
be a sheep,
features.
You know?
I got unique features. What are you talking about?
I mean, it's a green Mini, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, green Mini with a wood rim steering wheel. Ooh,
it's not. It's
that?
It's got patina. Have you seen?
Doesn't every Mini?
Have you seen my shitty bucket seats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are pretty unique.
Nah, see, this is where you get to put a Kirky inside it, Mike. And you live the uncomfortable life, but you have a very talkative point on your car. Trendsetter.
My back hurts. Well, Matt, why don't you put a more comfortable seat in your freaking Mini? Jeez.
Hey, I drove that thing 10 hours to Goodwood and back. And I spent the entire day in that car.
And I heard about how bad your back hurts.
We don't talk about that part, though.
How did it take you 10 hours to get to Goodwood?
It didn't, well... It was a 10-hour day because we decided that we were going to go buy a car in Crawley, And then we decided, because we're at Crawley, we'd drive down to Goodwood, and then we'd spend the day in Goodwood driving around taking pictures.
Oh, so it wasn't a 10-hour, you know, 5 hours there, 5 hours back type thing.
It wasn't far off. I think it was like 3.5 hours on the way back. Oof. And it was probably good, you know, 3, maybe 4 hours on the way down. So it wasn't far off.
Dang. Wow.
Yeah. And that was at 50 miles an hour as well, so...
Of course, really? Very, very responsible. Well done.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Dan, I'll leave you...
Moving on swiftly, Mike. Come on.
I'll leave you off on this one, and, you know, you can change it if you want. But if you could have a drink, coffee, beer, tea with one mini celeb, maybe motorsports, whatever, car celeb, maybe whatever you want, who would it be and why?
I think... This is going to sound a bit lame in a way, maybe a bit cheesy, but I didn't get to see Paddy, and so I'd like to have a coffee with him just to say hello again. You know, he was a good friend, and you know, obviously I knew him more on the motorsport side than the mini side, and like when he was president of the BRDC, you know, I mean. If people don't know, the BRDC, the British Racing Drivers Club, owns Silverstone Circuit, and is, you know, it's one of the most exclusive clubs in the world. You can't just be a racing driver. You have to hit a certain level and certain criteria. My dad was lucky enough to do it. Paddy, obviously, being the legend that he is and was a member, and he was president for a couple of years. And there was a BRDC dinner, which he ran, and Lewis Hamilton was given an award, and he was there, and so Paddy's on stage with Lewis, and Lando Norris the year before he got signed for McLaren and was winning all these awards. And then, you know, all these people are trying to get to Paddy, and he came up to me and Dad, and to be honest, I was steaming drunk. I've been having a cracking day. And we just sat down and chatted about the motor trade and stuff like that. And, you know, it was just nice to have that relationship with someone of that level, and it would be nice to just have another quick coffee, moan about the motor trade, and shake hands. And because we didn't get to do that, like I said, last time I saw him was at my dad's funeral, and then he that was in the February, and he passed away in the July. Mm. So yeah, Paddy would be the one I'd like to see again.
I like that answer.
Yeah,
I like it a lot. Hey, that was pretty good, Paddy Probe, not gonna lie. Not too bad.
I'll take them. Considering I literally know nothing. And bearing in mind that we supply Mini Spares, Mini Sport, Summerford Mini, Datch Mini. And I was at Mini Spares last week, and I literally sit there and I let the guys talk about the products, because I have no idea what they're on about. And then they go, can you do this? And I go, yep. And then I just find a way to do it. That's literally my contribution to a two-hour meeting.
Well, whatever works, man. Whatever works.
Got to do what you got to
do. Yes, sir.
Exactly that.
Dan, is there anything you want the people to know? Where can they find you? Where you want to send them?
Well, I mean, look, Mountie Classic, at Mountie Classic, and some other version of Mountie Classic will works. But, you know, you guys just keep doing what you're doing. We love it. We'll support you as much as we can. We've got another couple of ideas for maybe a competition rather than a giveaway, you know, we've got some stuff lying around rather than just giving stuff off of our standard stock. You know, we've got some little things here that might be good, but we'll spread it out a bit. You know, we don't want to go too crazy.
Yeah, we don't want to go ham too hard. I get you.
Yeah, we've got to dangle the carrot a little bit.
Exactly. No, we've got a few things in our archives that have been sticking around. Some of them may not actually be suitable to actually go on a car, but would look good on a wall or in a garage or something. So, you know, we will do a few more bits and bobs. So we'll let you guys know, and you can let your audience know, but. We're just so appreciative for you two and the way that you have built this community. You guys have done it's just over a year, isn't it, Mike, since you started? So
yeah,
to do what you've done in that space of time is fantastic. So we're just happy to be a tiny part of that. So thank you, guys.
Absolutely, no, thank you.
Thank you, Dan. We're very happy to have have Mountney Classic on board, and yourself and Jody and the rest of the team behind you guys. So thank you as well. Really appreciate it.
100%.
And obviously, Sean, open invitation anytime. If you're ever in the neighborhood, stop by. Mike, just, you know, stop being an American. Come over to
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. But yeah, I'll take you up on that opportunity. And Mike, yeah, you do need to get your ass over
America.
Here,
what a film. What a
I'm glad you got that one.
The only thing that would make that better would be a mini. There we go. There's no, there isn't one in there.
All right. Well, it's almost starting my work day here, so I'm going to wrap this bad boy up. Oh, Jesus. You always do this. People have literally... No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I've got a public apology. I'm really sorry. I'd just like to say I'm really sorry to Rowan Atkinson that we haven't had time yet again to get you onto the podcast. So if you are listening, we will get you on.
Hey, I got connections.
And don't forget, Mini Life 10 at mountaineclassic.co.uk, 10% off. Go and use it.
There we go.
Are we giving you guys a discount?
Yes,
perhaps.
Yeah, we'll look into that. That doesn't sound like me.
Well, time to wrap it up. See you guys
on
later.
That note,
I'll catch you guys on the next one.
Later.